Hey, good morning, everyone.
A little bit of music from Joe and Woody and Boys of the Road Crew this morning.
Say hello to a new friend on an old road. Take a two-lane trip of memories into mysteries unknown. Come along for the ride. Jim Hinckley's America. Jim Hinckley's America.
We'll have Jim Livingston from Tucumcari, New Mexico with us in just a few minutes. Jim Livingston's fine art. Get a little bit of the news out of the way first. We're going to talk about a little bit of our sponsors. Jim's in Tucumcari, New Mexico. And, of course, one of our good friends there, David Brenner, at the Roadrunner Motel, a true living time capsule circa mid-1960s, one of our sponsors of the Jim Hinckley's America programs. Let's see. Give a shout-out. Speaking of time capsules, of course, the Wagon Wheel Motel in Cuba, Missouri, one of the oldest continuously operated motels on Route 66. Connie Eccles is a great proprietress there, done a wonderful job giving that place a great lease on life. And always good to see and visit with Connie. And we'll get Jim to sign in as a guest here, a co-host, in just a second, see if we can make that happen. And talk a little bit about our great recent Route 66 trip. We'll be, I wanted to give a shout out to Docks just off 66 in Girard, Illinois. Yeah, it's Docks just off 66 is, it's one part cafe. And it's one part pharmacy museum. You got to see this place to believe it. The building dates to, the building dates to 1874. The, pharmacy operated there from about 1884 till somewhere around, the mid 2005, 6, 7. And, upstairs was originally doctor's offices, lawyer's office, and such. But the Deck family operated a pharmacy there for well over 100 years, and they never threw anything away. Old advertisements, old brochures, medicine bottles, Crocs, they just stored it upstairs. So what Casey Claypool has done is keep the original 1929 soda fountain, convert the rest into a delightful little cafe, and used all of the original cabinetry as for displays. And she's displaying all this wonderful pharmacy memorabilia. This is a block off 66, hence the name. It's Docks just off 66. And one second here. Let's see what we've got here.
Jim, are you there?
It's really amazing. I tell you, when I had a great sandwich there, but I found myself just entranced by all the displays. When was the last time you saw a pharmacy croc that, and it says, for leeches? Pretty good stuff. Hey, Jim Livingston, how are you, sir?
Good. Can you hear me?
Yeah, a little bit low, but we got you.
Well, here, let me move the microphone closer to my mouth. June's usually having me move everything away from my mouth.
You know, it's kind of like me. I had people tell me they wish I was on TV. I thought that was a good thing, and I realized they just wanted to turn me off.
You and I have so much in common, it's not even funny.
You know, hey, it was so good to see you and June and Connie and David there at dinner and Adele's in Tucumcari. That was kind of one of the highlights of our adventure.
It was really nice. June had never met you in person, and she really loved meeting Judy. It seemed like they had a lot in common.
Yeah. I was just talking when you, before you joined us here, I was talking about docks just off 66 in Girard, Illinois, on the square. And if you get a chance, that is absolutely amazing. The entire upstairs is filled with over 120 years worth of pharmacy memorabilia, advertising, medicine jars, Crocs. And I was just astounded. One of the Crocs had written on there, it was approved by American physicians, and it was a jar for leeches.
Oh,
great. Hey, Jim, you know, I didn't want to give you a big head, but when we started this, I mentioned that you were an inspirational character and fascinating. And I don't want to make it so your hat doesn't fit. But, you know, for years, in 100 years ago or so, there was an argument raging whether photography was art or not. And your photography takes that argument away. Your photography truly is fine art.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you. You know, actually, it's kind of interesting. I think that argument has morphed today. I think that most intellectuals, you know, academians would say that photography is just as much an art as oil painting and whatnot, even though there is a kind of a prejudice that it's a lesser form of art. But I think the question among many people today is, what is photography? Particularly cool. With Photoshop and AI, things like that.
Well, it's definitely in a state of transition. That's for sure.
It really is.
I do not know of a photographer that's a better captures the majesty of storms, especially in the desert, than you. And it goes along with one of your other interests. You were doing a bit of storm chasing, right?
Up until last year, I was professional at it. I worked for a TV station there in Amarillo. Last year was a kind of an interesting swan dive. We were... I was chasing with a friend of mine who's a great storm chaser, Doug Black. In fact, I'm a great photographer when it comes to storms, and that sounds like I'm bragging, but that's my skill set. Doug can get us to the tornado. He can put his finger in the air, and he's like, go north, you know, and the next thing you know, we're looking at a tornado. Anyway, Doug was in a different car than I was. He was actually in Oklahoma when the storm chased, and I left from Amarillo. We ended up at the exact same spot. He screams at me. I'm taking a video of a tornado. He screams at me and points to my back. I turn around, and there's a small tornado forming right above me. Got video of it. Coming down. The ground exploded. The tornado actually lifted up all the debris. It was a very small tornado, thank God. It actually lifted me off the ground and pulled me away from the truck for a second or two, and then slammed me into my truck and carried on. But that was the last storm chase that I officially did.
Jim, I got to tell you, you know, most people, the reaction when they find themselves in a tornado would be to run like hell or hide or do something, not... Let's video this. That's good stuff.
Well, you know, actually, I'm not alone in that. In fact, a great many Texans, tornadoes happen so often in the panhandle of Texas that most people go out to their front porch. It's a spectator sport. You know, it's like get the popcorn on. It's kind of crazy. But then again, you know, I think Drees Brissel's a mutual friend of ours who we both love. He told me that in Holland, is that where he's from, Holland?
Yeah, the Netherlands, yeah. Mm-hmm.
He told me that in Holland, Texas, when somebody says something is Texas, what they're really meaning is that it's crazy. So maybe that's the common denominator, is that we're all crazy in Texas.
You know, I'd best refrain from commenting on that, but I do have an opinion.
Have you ever not shared your opinion, Mr. Hinckley?
You know, well, it is Sunday, so we'll just suffice for that. But hey, and now you and June are calling Tucumcari home.
That's correct. We're no longer Texans. We are officially New Mexicans. We hopped across the border into New Mexico, and we're absolutely loving it. This little town, about 5,000 people live here. We have 3 stoplights in the entire town, unless I'm mistaken. And I don't think there's a spot in the entire city limits where the speed limit is over 45 miles an hour.
You know, I'll tell you, you've got such passionate people, David Brenner and Larry Smith there, and Connie Loveland. It's the old adage, do not judge a book by its cover.
Yeah.
You come into the east side of Tucumcari, or headed east through Tucumcari, you think you've walked into the scene for a movie about the apocalypse. But you spend 5 or 10 minutes talking to people, wandering around, go downtown to the train depot. I'll tell you, there's a passion there and a vibrancy. And I really think you're on the cusp of a pretty exciting renaissance in Tucumcari. I really believe that.
I think you're right. You know, one of the things, you and I are both passionate about Route 66. Well, not just Route 66, but all of kind of Americana road trips kind of stuff. One of the things that I think happens in larger cities is because, you know, it's kind of a monopoly when it comes to real estate. You know, people are always buying and selling, particularly with commercial real estate. If you go through a larger city, a lot of times the original Route 66 businesses have long been sold, closed, changed, turned into something else. Those buildings may be there, but they're not anything like what they were when Route 66 was in its heyday, right?
Yeah.
But Tucumcari, you have how many different businesses that are still the same business? You know, the Blue Swallow Motel was founded in 1936?
39, I think.
You mentioned Larry Smith, the Roadrunner in the 50s, right? Roadrunner Motel?
Yeah.
The Motel Safari. And then David Brenner just restored the Roadrunner, which is an amazing hotel from the 1960s, correct? You can correct me.
Yeah, 1964. Hey, real quick, Maggie May asked if you could turn your volume up just a hair.
Is that better, Maggie May?
Yes, that's better. Thank you, Maggie. You're right. You know, these motels, not only does Tucumcari have a plethora, like the TP Curios, all these great businesses, but the Downtown Historic District, I know that it's languished for a while. But you talk about some little dusty gems and treasures. And
June is my sweetheart, by the way. It's not the month that we're in, but we were downtown yesterday and we were looking at the Princess Theater.
Oh, yes.
We're working on it here in Tucumcari to restore it. But my gosh, that's one of those gems back in the heyday of black and white film. It's just gorgeous, you know. You're exactly right. I think the downtown in Tucumcari is exploding as far as interest in historical value.
Yeah, it's a great town. One of the things I always tell people is you got to take a little time. Of course, all these towns are the same. You know, it's easy to see them as faded war little towns of like Santa Rosa and some of these places. But there's so many great treasures there. And the Mesa Lands Community Dinosaur Museum, the first time you see that, you know, it's shocking to find a quality museum like that in such a small town.
You know, you're right. The other thing that I think is mind-boggling about Tucumcari is it's not just the dinosaur museum. But we have four museums in total. We have the Route 66 Museum, which I'd put up against any other Route 66 museum. We have the train depot, which you mentioned, where Connie Loveland offices for Main Street. But it's a marvelous museum. By the way, it's reputed to be haunted, and I have a little story to tell you about that. But we also have the Historical Museum, which was the original schoolhouse from 1906, two-story building just filled with fascinating memorabilia from over the years. What else? So the Dinosaur Museum, Route 66, Historical Museum.
Yeah. You know, I don't poo-poo stories of hauntings, but I have found a direct correlation between people who tell me stories about hauntings and the amount of tequila or mezcal they were drinking.
I'm going to refrain from commenting. But I will say that this the what happened to Connie Loveland and I. I was going to do an art class, a photography class. And so she invited me to come down there. It was the third time I'd been in the museum. And we're sitting in the museum among all the displays and stuff like that, and a picture jumps off the wall. Now, I'm not talking slides off the wall or falls off the wall, but it landed 4 feet from the wall. I looked at Connie, and there was no trains going by. There was no rumbling. There was no vibrations. And she began telling me that the train station is reputed to be haunted, and she told me about this guy who was coming into Tucumcari in like the 20s and had a heart attack, and by the time he got to Tucumcari, he was either dead or died in the train station when they brought him in. And when his family showed up, the diamond lapel pin that he was wearing was missing, and supposedly that's one of the interesting characters that haunt the place. But watching that picture jump 4 foot off the wall was interesting. I kind of tend to think that she's right.
Things like that do make you stop and think just a tad bit. And I would probably be tempted to read the warning label to see what the side effects were on my prescription. But I I've seen some pretty odd things out there. I've spent a lot of time when I was younger on various Native American Indian reservations, and I have witnessed some pretty strange things over the years. You have had some of the most amazing adventures, Mr. Jim, and I don't want to embarrass you. Don't tell tales that you don't feel comfortable with, but I do find you a most inspirational fellow because you've had a fascinating career, to say the very least.
Well, I've lived out of the box. I'll admit that. I've not colored within the lines. How about that?
Yeah. Well, that's a good way to put it. That's a damn good way to put it. But your photography, Jim Livingston Art on Facebook, and what is your website?
JimLivingstonArt.com.
Well, God bless. That's kind of tough to figure out. Hey, folks, you want to see some amazing artwork that just captures the absolute majesty and the raw power and the beauty of storms in the desert. Take a look at his website. It's pretty darned amazing. I've always been a fan of storms in the desert, and you just capture that so well.
Thank you. It's a passion of mine. Like I said, I slowed down. I've had two experiences now that have slowed me down. And as much as anything, it's my body slowing me down. I've had too many broken bones. But in 2016, I was hit by a car. I was on the side of the road. I was actually in the bar ditch. Do they have bar ditches in Arizona?
No, but I think most folks will know it. We've got a lot of folks here from the Midwest, so they'll be familiar with bar ditches.
Okay. I know that sometimes, you know, we have local names for things. But anyway, so I was actually like 15 foot off the highway, and it was like 2 a.m. I was taking pictures of a giant thunder cloud and the moon, actually. And I wasn't under the storm, wasn't anywhere near the storm. And a car came off the highway and ran me over and just kept going. It threw me about 15 foot, landed back on the highway. Broke a couple of bones, did a real number on my left leg. I had several surgeries on my left leg. And then that tornado that picked me up in last year, I just can't ride the horse all that long. You know, to storm chase, you've got to have an iron butt, because you sit in the car for hours going where the storm is. And I can't do it anymore, but, they are absolutely beautiful. And you know, the crazy thing about tornadoes, and storm chasing is really and truly the most dangerous part about it is the fact that movies like Twister have turned it into a very popular hobby. I'll be in the middle of nowhere. I'm talking 100 miles from any city of any size, and there'll be 200 cars.
I got it. You know, I admire the heck out of storm chasers and you, you know, because you're a professional. You do it the right way and professional. But I have to tell you that storm chasing, like my younger days with rodeo, I can't help but think it's God's way of eliminating crazy people. I just...
Do you remember the books, the Darwin Awards?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Yeah, dude, my sweetie says the same thing. In fact, it's probably as much her forbidding me to storm chase as it is anything else. But I like to keep her happy. So.
You know, I know what you're saying about age. In my mind, I'm still 20. And I start doing things like splitting a cord of wood or working on my truck or, you know, doing something like this. And then I'm stove up for the next 4 days. And I'm starting to realize that I might not be a kid anymore.
Oh, my gosh. You know, I remember being like 12 years old, and my uncle and my dad were talking, and they were talking about, and I remember my dad saying it just as clear as a bell, that growing old is not for sissies.
No.
I looked at him like, you're crazy, man. What are you talking about? And now I totally understand.
I had a buddy of mine, Johnny Fleming, that passed away a few years ago. He was quite a amazing fella. He was the Navy's black bantamweight boxing champion back in the 40s. And he was still working, and he's well into his 80s, going to the gym 3 times a week at 90. And he said the secret to getting old and feeling young is you always hang out with people who are older than you are. When he turned 94, he said, Jim, I've got a problem. I can't find anybody older than I am to hang out with. Just...
Oh, I love that. I totally understand it.
So what kind of project, what's your next, what are you doing next?
You know, Jim, actually I kind of have a, I don't know, honestly. This year, if I were to title this year, it would be the year of pain. In this year, June 30th, we moved from Amarillo to Tucumcari. In the middle of that move, I got bit by a stray cat on my thumb. And now, to put this in context, I really kind of have to laugh at this. To put this in context, I've had 23 broken bones. Again, you know, being a photographer, I worked for the AP News for a while, and you know, the thing back in the day of film was save your film first, save the camera second, and if you can, get out with injuries. You know, I mean, your body and health was not the thing that you put on the line first. Your film was, right? Anyway, so I've had like 23 broken bones. I've photographed from Central America to Alaska. Been in some very dangerous situations with my camera. So when I say that I've experienced some traumatic injuries, that's not a lie. And when I say that I've been through some intensely painful experiences, that's not a lie either, or exaggeration. The most painful thing that I have ever experienced in my life was a cotton picking cat bite to my thumb. Not my leg, you know, not my face, but my thumb. It got infected, and spent a week in the hospital, spent over 100 days on antibiotics, 3 shots, IV antibiotics, and the pain was incredible. The bone actually got infected, and all of the joints in my thumb got infected. And it just, it waylaid me. I mean, I've been sicker than a dog. The infection became septic. It just knocked me off my horse, you might say. And I'm still recovering from that. So, you know, you asked me what my next project is. I think health, honestly. I've got to get some strength back.
Yes.
I get tired walking up the stairs from the basement to the kitchen. And, you know, I know June is tired of me whining and complaining. You know, it was kind of funny. A male friend of mine was talking the other day, and he goes, you know, I know what it was like for my wife to have a baby. I had a cold yesterday. We men don't handle pain like our women folk do.
I had an old cowboy tell me when I was working down along the Mexican border that, you know, another 30 or 40 years just might kill us.
maybe so. I don't know.
Hey, Jim, I am so glad that you are on the road to recovery, because you've got some great projects that's kind of been simmering on the back burner, things you need to pick up again, your I Am project, and some of the other ideas that we've discussed. And I'd sure like to see you bringing those to fruition, because...
The I Am project is not dead. It was going really strong. For those of you who don't know, the I Am project, that's where I really got involved in Route 66. Although I've lived on Route 66 a good part of my life. I lived in O'Fallon, Missouri, Springfield, Missouri, Albuquerque, Amarillo, all very near Route 66. The I Am project, which is where I met Mr. Hinckley here, I traveled Route 66 and I did about 2,000 portraits of people who live, work, or are otherwise enthusiastic about Route 66. And I asked them 3 questions. I am, I regret, and before I die. They answered those questions in their own handwriting, and I married those to their black and white portrait. And really and truly, the inspiration to that project was I was trying to figure out those questions for myself, and I still haven't. I still couldn't really, you know, the answer to those questions change day by day. But here in Tucumcari, I'm kind of finding the inspiration to finish that book up. So hopefully a little bit will get done.
You know, I've talked to a couple of people about that needs to be a traveling photo exhibit.
I would love to do that.
Because it's such an inspirational, thought-provoking work, as well as a, it's the sharing of America's story. Let's just put it that way. It really is the sharing of America's story, such a diverse array of people that you've encountered, met along the way, like Lilo out at Westside Lilo's in Seligman.
Favorite stories. I'm going to challenge you on that. I'm going to say that you're wrong, Jim. It's really the story of the world. One of the things that absolutely shocked me when I got on Route 66, in Lilo is a perfect example, is the number of non-Americans that I met on Route 66.
Yeah.
There's a huge, like out of that 2,000, I'm going to say at least 500 are non-Americans.
Yeah. Route 66 is such a bizarre animal. It transcends barriers of language and culture. I had some meetings with Marian Pavel. I'm very privileged to work with him on his navigation app, the Route 66 navigation .com, the Mother Road Route 66 passport, and other projects. And of course, he's out of Bratislava, Slovakia. And then I had the privilege of meeting his wife, Irina, from the Ukraine, her first trip to the United States on this trip. And I never thought when I was being potty trained along Route 66 or learning to ride a bicycle on an old section of Route 66, I could never have imagined that it would take me to all these places and introduce me to such wonderful people.
You know, it's really bizarre. I would say in any given week, Marion is a really close friend of mine. He's like a brother from another mother. But any given week, I'll talk to Sam Murray from New Zealand, or Toshi Goto from Japan, or Wolfgang from Germany, or Dries from the Netherlands. With social media, it's so easy because instant messenger is instantaneous. Yeah. And, Route 66 isn't an American phenomena. It's a global phenomena.
Yeah.
And I really think when we focus on it as an American phenomena, we do it a little bit of a disservice. I mean, I'm not saying that we shouldn't be patriotic or anything like that, but it really shows that we are humanity, that those boundaries, that those artificial boundaries that you don't see from outer space, when we don't allow them to interfere with our becoming friends, like I said, you know, that story of what happened at Lilo's with you, were there that day,
yeah,
is one of my favorite stories on Route 66.
Well, you know, Route 66 is obviously an American highway. It's an American story. But because it's an American story, it's a story of immigrants and international. Perhaps one of the most amazing things about Route 66, I had a fellow that grew up behind the Iron Curtain. And we were talking some years ago. And he said what the Statue of Liberty was represented for a previous generation, Route 66 came to represent for mine.
Yeah.
And I thought that was pretty darned amazing.
You know, Marion was the person who explained to me that in Europe, like Route 66 is roughly 2,400 miles long. It depends on which map you look at, with which alignment you look at as to what the official length of Route 66 is, because it changed so many times over the years. But in Europe, if you were to try to travel on any highway for 2,400 miles, you would have to stop at dozens, maybe not dozens, but you would have to stop at so many different borders where they would want to look at your passport and search your car and do all those kinds of things that they do at the border to make sure everything is safe. Here, you get on the highway in Chicago and nobody bothers you unless you get pulled over for speeding or something until you get to L.A.
Yeah. Well, you know, like I say, America's a just diverse place. That's just all there is to it. We're a very diverse country, and it's encapsulated in the Route 66 experience.
Route 66 is simply a micro version of America. Really.
Yeah.
You know, it's an amazing thing.
Jim, thank you for taking time this morning. I have enjoyed this immensely, and you know, we got to do this more often. We should get together once in a while and chew the fat a bit on a Sunday morning, talk about what's going on in Tucumcari, because that always intrigues me. There's something about Tucumcari that's has always, for as long as I can remember, I just feel comfortable there. And you may have explained it in the beginning of this conversation. I don't feel overly comfortable in any town with more than 3 stoplights. And you said Tucumcari has 3. That might be why I'm so comfortable there.
You know, it's an amazingly friendly town. Go anywhere in town and you can have a conversation with people and not feel unwelcome. I mean, it's one of the friendliest towns on Route 66, in my humble opinion.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's interesting. Social media allows you to watch other people's interest in things like that. I want to sing out to a couple of people that you're familiar with. Elmer Toledo, is that how you say his last name? He has a webpage on Route 66, and he's always highlighting Tucumcari. Wonderful photos. And then a guy that you're working with, Greg Halsman.
Greg Casman, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He just uses his cell phone most of the time, but he's doing some marvelous pictures, and he does a lot of pictures of Tucumcari too. It's an iconic little town with so much to photograph. It's just a wonderful place.
Yes. We'll have to do this again because I have enjoyed this immensely. And of course, I want to thank everybody who joined us this morning. We had quite a group here. In fact, Greg Kassman's with us this morning.
Hey, Greg.
Maggie from East Lansing, Michigan, with the Ransom E. Olds Museum and Motor Cities. People from Kingman and, well, all kinds of folks here. And we'll have this archived on Spotify and most of the major podcast platforms when I publish it. And of course, I got an embedded player on the Jim Hinckley's America website. I want to encourage folks too, if you're worried about a Route 66 trip, because one of the most amazing things about Route 66 is it doesn't exist officially. It hasn't, that's another story for another day, but if you're worried about that, the Route 66 navigation app, that's number one, route66navigation.com. And, the other I can recommend highly is Route Trip USA. They are a company out of the UK. They specialize in custom road trip holidays in the United States or Canada. And they're a big proponent of Route 66. They organize customized holidays on Route 66. And they really, really do a great job. And I don't say that just because that you can add little things like dinner with Jim Hinckley and Kingman. I'm just saying that because they're a good company. And they're great, great people to work with. And I need to say, give a shout out too to our good friend there at the Uranus Fudge Company and General Store.
I love that place.
Oh my gosh. If you're a fan of juvenile humor, that you gotta go there. That's a destination. If you're not a fan of juvenile humor, you take a photo of the sign and get out of there as fast as you can.
I have never met anybody who could keep a straight face though. Even people who say they're not fans of juvenile humor end up getting a chuckle out of the place. Leo King is just he's got such a brilliant sense of humor.
I knew that he had a winner when I saw a busload of nuns in there just laughing. You know you've done something right when you can get a busload of nuns laughing about this stuff.
The great thing, I was talking to Louis, and he said that he will fire anybody who crosses the line, who actually crosses the line to vulgarity.
Yeah.
But he encourages all of his staff members to reference things, we might say, without ever crossing the line.
What have you ever been to a place when you leave, everybody shouts, "Thank you for picking Uranus"?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, God. I was there.
How can you not laugh at that? I mean, you know.
Judy and I, when we on this last trip, we stopped in there to pick up some things to take to the Miles of Possibility conference and to catch up a little bit. And there's always something going on. They had the circus sideshow proprietor. She was in the parking lot doing sword swallowing. And then Ron Jones, the tattoo man of Route 66.
Oh, I love Ron. He's great.
He showed up in his beautiful 55 Chevy. And couldn't wait to show us his new tattoo, which was, well, almost where the namesake for Uranus Fudge Company is. And he proceeded to, drop his pants and show us. Just,
oh,
I saw more of Ron Jones than I ever thought I should. Yeah. But that's another story. Guys, you know, Jim, thank you. Let's do this again. And thank you, guys, for everybody who joined us. Does anyone have any last-minute questions for Jim, for the Jims, or thoughts or ideas?
The Jims of Route 66.
If not, what we'll do is get some music from the road crew. We'll bid everybody a hearty Via con Dios, and, well, we'll do this again next week at 7 o'clock.
Who's your guest next week, Jim?
Well, you know, we're working on that. I've got a couple lined up. I'm going to try Lindsay Baker again. The program we had with Dr. Baker was probably the biggest disaster I've personally experienced since I started trying to do any of this. Anything and everything could go wrong did. And Dr. Baker, I had a privilege to hear him speak at the Miles of Possibility conference, and I've met him on the road when he was doing research for his book. And what a fascinating fella he is. But we've got a lot of
What's his book about?
It's about the dining experience on Route 66. I will post that on Facebook today and on my website. It's a great book. Really fascinating. He gets deep into the history of cafes and restaurants along Route 66, chronicling the evolution of the dining roadside dining experience, basically.
Well, you can't knock Route 66 for having some of the best places to eat.
Oh, I'm starting to look like I swallowed a beach ball. This last trip, I discovered some fantastic restaurants. I mentioned Doc's just off 66. Was fantastic. Paradise Garden in Bloomington, Illinois. It's on Highway 9, Empire Boulevard, just about two blocks off 66. That I highly recommend. And Dr. Baker gave me a lead on a restaurant. I can't remember the name, I'm embarrassed to say, but it's on the original alignment of Route 66 in Springfield, Illinois. And it's been there since 1874.
Oh, wow.
And that's one I've got to check out for sure.
Hey, Jim, a couple of my followers who may not be familiar with you, where can they find about your books, about your podcast, about all the stuff that you do? Because, like, you do everything, podcast, books. It's crazy. It's wonderful to follow you.
Well, telling people where to go and sharing America's story. That's what I do. My pa said it was better to fill the head with useless knowledge than no knowledge at all. And I decided to try to make a career of that. I'm still working on it. JimHinckley'sAmerica.com. That's the best place to find me.
Okay.
Awesome. I've got a schedule. I've got a list of recommended locations, places I don't recommend unless I have tested the pillows and tasted the enchiladas. Ah, Cheryl, thank you. Cheryl, it's Maldonar's Restaurant in Springfield, Illinois. Been there since about 1874.
Man, that's crazy to think about, isn't it?
Yeah, and of course, the Berghoff in Chicago, that dates to 1898, I believe. And so they got a couple good ones there.
Well, you and I could talk forever. It's already 10 minutes past the...
That's okay. We go ahead.
Tucumcari was founded in 1906, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
And so, like, I was downtown, and we were in a building that was actually built, like, in 1902. And, you know, for Tucumcari, that's older than the city is, actually. A mutual great friend of ours who I lament his passing, David Clark.
Yes.
He was one of my truly favorite human beings in the world. I was privileged to get a couple of private tours, just me and David wandering around.
Yes.
And even when I lived in Amarillo, you know, like the oldest building in the panhandle of Texas that was built with architectural plans, 1887, I believe, which was the Charles Goodnight Ranch House. We'd be talking about buildings that were built in the late 1700s. In Chicago, and you know, he'd be talking about architecture from the early 1800s and things like that. It's amazing how old Chicago is.
Yeah,
and the history, you know, there's so much that I want to see and do in Chicago on Route 66. Well, not just Route 66. I want to go to a ball game at Wrigley Field. You
know? Yes. Ah, there's just so much to see, and you know, not just on Route 66, but there's just so much to see. But Route 66 definitely is an amazing animal. Jim, we've got to do this again. Maybe we should do something like this every 4, 5, 6 weeks.
You just say when, and I'll show up. You know, especially if there's food involved.
And especially now that we figured out daylight savings time, so we know that we're on the same time. It gets confusing because Arizona doesn't do daylight savings time. So
I read the best quote about daylight savings time. It was, I think, Chief Dan, Native American actor. He said that only white men will cut the bottom half of a blanket off, sew it onto the top, and think that they've made the blanket longer.
Yes. It gets kind of confusing because half the year we're on like Pacific time, and half the year we're on Mountain Standard time. And all I know is, well, I'll be darned, it's daylight. And then I'll look outside and it's dark. And I kind of go by that.
I really wish we would be like Arizona. I think Arizona leads the nation in common sense when it comes to daylight savings time.
Well, that might be the only thing we lead the nation in when it comes to common sense, but I won't go down that road either.
It's Sunday. I'm not going to say anything.
Hey, guys, thank you so very much. Let's get this. We'll send this off with a little bit of music from Joe and Woody and the boys of the road crew. Jim, thank you very much, and thank you for everybody who joined us this morning. And join us next week. Invite your friends. We will have some fun. We're talking to Dr. Lindsey Baker, seeing if we can get him on. We've got Thomas Heidinger, tour company owner from Germany. We're going to be trying to get him scheduled, try to work out the time differences. Got some folks from Needles, California we're talking with, and Kingman Main Street. And well, we got all kinds of things coming up. And you can find out details on our James Hinckley Facebook page or jimhinckleysamerica.com. Until next week, my friends, vaya con Dios, mi amigos.
Take care.
Say hello to a new friend on an old road. Take a two-lane trip of memories into mysteries unknown. Come along for the ride. Jim Hinckley's America. Jim Hinckley's America.